The long-expected death of Canon Friel has placed the ambitious curate Father O'Flatley in charge of the parish, and it is to him that Fonsy Doherty applies about the purchase of a ruined cottage on church land. Fonsy, estate agent, proprietor of the Swilly Arms, and chairman of the local development association, has heard that the cottage may be the ancestral home of President Hoover. As this intelligence might well be discredited by local historian Vivian Hawthorne, Fonsy hopes to keep it from her until she and her new husband, the Reverend Hawthorne, move to a congregation in Scotland. His only confidants are Stumpy Bonner of the Vindicator, Muriel McConkie, who runs the corner shop and is the Development Association's secretary, and her sister Vera, operator of the manual telephone exchange. Ballylennon, 1955.
Ballylennon call office, number please.
Trunk call from Birmingham for Ballylennon 3, please.
I'm putting you through.
Swilly Arms Hotel.
A trunk call for you, Mr. Doherty.
Oh, thanks, Miss McConkie.
There you are now, Birmingham.
Hello, Dada.
Is that you, Josie?
Muriel. There was a call from Birmingham for Mr. Doherty.
Oh, was it Josie?
Who else would it be?
He says she writes, but she never phones.
She'd phone if it was something important.
He's very anxious about her over there. England's a very risky place with those Bibs and Teddy boys hanging around. He didn't say as much, but I know he thinks she's seeing Packy McGoldrick.
You may be sure she is seeing Packy McGoldrick.
Oh, yes, I know, but I didn't say that. And the Meldon didn't carry on as if they were born to be lounging on those chintz couches, sipping gins and it, instead of shaking out the covers in the backyard.
I wonder if I'm hallucinating, as Peg Sweeney say, or if I did actually see the same Packy duking round the corner of the Pierce Village yesterday night when I was coming home from the Lady Sodality. I put it out of my mind, but now I'm beginning to wonder.
Well, I hope it wasn't, because we owe him £11.19 for painting the spare room.
After the mess he made at the Tidy Villages contest. Oh, I suppose he hadn't the nerve to send us a reminder in the post.
Yeah, it's a wonder he didn't.
He's not setting his foot through this door.
Mr. Doherty hasn't rung off yet. Will I listen to the end of his conversation?
Oh, well, no. I don't like to overhear his private business. And he'd hear the click on the line. Vera, do you think we should let that room? What good is it to us?
It's you who was against letting it before.
We'd have to be very careful who we got. And then we'd have to decide if we'd give them their meals or let them have the use of the kitchen. I heard Guard Gallagher will be looking the temporary place while they're renovating the barracks.
We'd never be burgled with him around. But could you put up with the singing?
No.
Oh. Hello? Have you finished, caller?
Yes, Miss McConkie. And while you're there, was there anything further from that Maybelle McFinney of Sulphur Springs?
Not a word, Mr. Doherty. Well, I have quarreled to choose. Oh, no.
What's that?
Nothing, Mr. Doherty. No, there was nothing since. She said she was bringing a group to look at the cottage, and I put her off for a bit.
Ah, that's grand so. Well, I still have to get the deed signed by the new curate, you see. Would you mention that to your sister, huh?
He's getting the deed.
You see, he's very keen to sell because of the parish debt. And I'm saying nothing about it at the meeting of the Development Association until you know who has taken the high road. Or is it the low road for you know where?
Oh, yes, I know. Thanks, Mr. Doherty.
Good luck.
In the meantime, we look forward to hearing from you and are praying that you will furnish an acceptable explanation. Explanation?
Is that all?
Oh, I should think it is sufficient. With good wishes to you and Mrs. Hawthorne, yours truly, Robert S. Allen, convener, Lochwinnock Presbyterian Church.
Either there has been a complete misunderstanding, or they have some concealed reason for not confirming your appointment.
What sort of concealed reason?
Well, such as one of their elders offering the ministry to another person who accepted. Now they can't get out of it.
But they offered it to me!
Yes, and so they're looking for a plausible reason as to why they can't appoint you.
It is perfectly true that my earliest ministry was as assistant at Fisherwick Church in Belfast. I put that in my curriculum vitae.
And I typed it.
Not realising it could possibly be an obstacle.
What obstacle it appears to be?
Oh!
I'll answer that. You're too upset.
The manse, Mrs. Hawthorne speaking.
Hello, Mrs. Hawthorne. This is Muriel McConkie. Mr. Doherty's looking for a date for the next meeting of the Development Association. And he was wondering when you were leaving for Scotland.
The 19th.
My goodness. And your bag's packed and all.
Practically, except for a few last-minute things. You know, the kettle and hot water bottles and things like that.
Such a lot of organisation, but you're the one to do it efficiently, Mrs. Hawthorne.
Thank you. Good preparation makes for best results. Well, you can say to Mr. Doherty that I'm free any evening to attend a meeting up to the 19th.
Oh, that's a real pity, because I think all his evenings are full up to the 20th. But I'll see what can be done. Thank you, Mrs. Hawthorne.
Goodbye, Miss McConkie. Read me out that bit about Fisherwick.
Yes, here it is. We understand that the congregation at the church of your first ministry indulges in the music of a pipe organ, and furthermore that there was and still is a robed choir. You may appreciate that these are the kind of adjuncts to worship which our congregation finds not only unnecessary but also distasteful.
Are they afraid that you're going to introduce these adjuncts?
This is what they say. The elders would like to know your reasons for accepting the call from such a congregation and whether, while you were there, you took steps to see if these pernicious practices might be discontinued. Well, I didn't.
No, but you could say that the reason you left Fisherwick to come to Ballylennon was because you failed to convince them of the error of their ways.
Ways? But that wasn't the reason, Vivian. I came here because I failed to see eye to eye with Mrs. Meldrum, the leader of the Brownies.
Say that.
I didn't.
It's quite ridiculous. After all, it was they who approached you after they heard your sermon on the wireless. That should be enough for them. They shouldn't go raking over the coals.
Coals? But that's what they appear to be doing, Vivian. And it's we who'll feel the effects of the fire.
Why, and another thing, Stumpy. You mustn't let that report appear until the weekend after next, because they aren't moving to Scotland till the 19th. And I don't want her to get as much as a whiff of this. Do you hear me? Aye, goodbye. I'll ring you yet. What? What's that? No. See, the major, they come out with some historical reason why President Hoover's great-grandmother couldn't possibly have been born in that cottage. Like it wasn't built. Or something stupid like that. I mean, who can prove that Brian Boru's hatchet in the museum, the one he cut off the Danish captain's legs with, is the real hatchet, when it's had three new handles and two new heads? Historical facts require interpretation, Stumpy. But you couldn't say that to Mrs. Hawthorne, because for her, even a coffin has to be made to measure. What? Yeah. So, hold over that release. Right. Be seeing it, Stumpy. Imelda!
What?
Any sign of Miss McConkie?
She's sitting out in the foyer.
What?
Hello, Miss. There you are, Imelda. Imelda should have shown you to the office.
She said you were on the phone.
Nothing you shouldn't overhear, Muriel. Come on in here now and sit down.
Thank you.
Sit down there and make yourself comfortable.
Right, now. I have the deeds here for that old cottage signed by Father O'Blackie. I said the purchaser was an undisclosed client, which is no word of a lie. And the closing date to come up with the money is the last day of the month.
Who is the purchaser, Fancy?
Well, there's two ways of going at it. The first is to wait till the members of this McFinney Foundation come and take a look at it and hope they'll put up the money.
But the condition it's in, Fonzie. Starlings nesting in the thatch and goats rambling in and out of the door. They'd never believe it was President Hoover's ancestral home.
That could be right there.
You wouldn't want to believe it. Americans like historical landmarks to be pretty and hygienic.
And the strategy there, Muriel, would be to get them to advance or some to make it pretty and hygienic. But you're right. They might be put off. The other way around would be for me to buy it for myself and then do it up so that when they come to have a look at it, it'll be next thing to perfect.
Could you raise the money, Fonse?
Well, between ourselves, Muriel, Father O'Flatley has agreed to £300. Now, I say it'd take another 50 to put an appearance on the place. But against that, it'd be a terrible risk if they decided not to contribute after all.
Fonse, you couldn't take that risk.
Well, you know, it's a thing I'll have to consider because, well, there could be a lot of benefit for the town and tourism and the like. But that wasn't all I wanted to talk to you about, Muriel, you see. I had a trunk call from Josie.
Oh, did you?
She's coming over for a few days.
Isn't that lovely?
Well, I don't know. She said she has something to say to me, but she wouldn't say what it was over the phone.
Quite right. You never know who might be listening in.
I have a terrible feeling she might still be in cahoots with Peggy McGoldrick. What's wrong?
Nothing, no. Just that the name reminded me. We still owe him for decorating our spare room.
Hello, Donegal Vindicator. Is that the small lads? Oh, yes, under accommodation to let. Lovely newly decorated room. Convenient to shops, churches, etc., Ballylinen. Use of bathroom and kitchen at certain times. Is that the right way of putting it? I don't want the lodger traipsing in and out of the WC or standing over the frying pan when I need them for... Oh, I see. Put that in the agreement. So just use of bathroom and kitchen. Suit respectable person. Civil servant, teacher or bank. Oh, no, you can cut out teacher. I've had enough of their kind. How much is the box number? A shilling. No, just put phone Ballylinen 1. There certainly is such a number. Tuppence a word, 5 shillings. Well, I suppose I'll have to go along with that, but it's very dear. All right, you'll have the postal order in the morning. Goodbye. 5 shillings. The lodger had better be worth his keep.
2 jam donuts and a cream slice, please.
That'll be 2, 4, 3 halfpenny, 7 halfpenny.
All right, there's a half a crown.
1 and 10, 10 halfpenny, thank you now.
Peggy McGoldrick.
Miss Bowles.
I thought I recognised the voice, but I wasn't sure till you turned round. What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm buying up the whole stock of Hazlitt's Fancy Bakery.
Are you home on a visit?
Have you no Wheaton Falls today?
No, sorry.
Oh, well, I'll take 2 baps.
You may not have heard, but I'm Miss Hawthorne now.
Oh, I did hear. Of course I heard. I just forgot. Congratulations.
Yes, we were married just about 6 weeks after you went away. Or disappeared, to be more exact.
Well, my going was rather sudden, I agree. I hope there's no ill feelings now.
Well, no. Not so much in this quarter.
Good.
But yes, I think so elsewhere.
Ah.
Tuppence, please. On holiday. Nothing wrong at home. Thank you.
A visit. Perhaps a flying one. Perhaps an indefinite stay. I can't say yet.
Well, you don't have to. Which way are you going?
Down to the Magnet to buy a copy of The Vindicator. The truth in the news. And then a wee visit to the 2 Miss McConkeys.
You could get your Vindicator at McConkeys.
Perhaps I will.
That might be one of the quarters where you wouldn't find yourself so welcome.
Ah, well, we'll say nothing. What's least said is soonest mended.
An exemplary philosophy. Am I right in thinking you're working in a nursery garden in Birmingham?
Oh, they're changing the name to Garden Centre. That's the new style. I'm not on the plants, though. I'm in the office. Promotion.
Very good. I always thought you had the will to get on. You should have done accountancy at the Tech. You still could.
Oh, you were always telling me that, Mrs. Hawthorne. But I did the bookkeeping my last year at the school and it all follows from that, if you watch what's going on around you.
You must call in and see us before we go. My husband was only saying the other day that you did a grand job in his pergola.
Oh.
He hasn't been able to get anyone as good since.
How do you mean, go?
You wouldn't have heard. We're moving to Scotland.
Well, so you'll be giving up on the Arts Centre for the old courthouse and the starting up of the tea shop and that?
Oh, I don't know what'll become of that scheme. Nothing, I suppose. Well, I must be going on. A hungry husband to feed. Do drop in, if you wish.
Have you still got that wee yellow canary?
Yes. Ozymandias and I will never be parted.
Well, that's a very dangerous situation.
What is?
Living in the one house with the two men.
Thank you.
Josie's supposed to be arriving today or tomorrow. There wasn't a call from Birmingham, was there? Fancy Doherty's in a lot of sweat all week now.
The switch was very quiet today. Someone from an antique shop in London was looking for Mr. Frawley up at Killiecrumper.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Frawley's away in the Bahamas or the Balearics or someplace, the butler was telling me. Well, isn't it well for some?
No, but you couldn't eat the food they serve at those places, Vera. Everyone comes back with a poisoned stomach. Is there any more tripe in the saucepan?
A scraping. Well, there's plenty of boiled turnip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. of it's gone a bit flat.
No, it's all right. It's only a wee bit overdone. How long has Joseph been away in England now?
Wasn't it June? The time of the Tidy Villages competition.
3 months about. Of course, if it's that, you'd expect her to stay where she is. But there again, she's not the kind to be secretive.
Oh, she's worth the other four of them put together.
She was well grown up when poor Concepta died. The others hadn't that advantage. We'll be at the back door at this hour.
I'll go. It might be Peg collecting for the cruelty.
Oh, and I'll have to call up to see Peg and hear what Father of Flatley is like as an employer.
Good evening, Miss McCulkin.
Oh, my goodness. Packy McGoldrick.
Go on, say the other thing.
What other thing?
Turning up like a bad penny.
Oh, I had no such thought in my mind. What can I do for you?
Is it the bill for the painting?
Hello, Miss McConkey. No, I had no such thought in my mind. But I suppose we could talk about that sometime. May I come in?
Oh, come in. And sit down with the range.
Thank you.
We're only just finishing our dinner. We take it late of a Saturday because the shop's so busy. You'll excuse me while I tidy up the table.
Don't mind me. Oh, I see you still have the telephone exchange under the stairs.
Oh, that's a fixture. There's no one taking it off me.
What are you backpacking? Birmingham, isn't it?
That's right. Just using up a week or two of my annual leave.
You left the bill for the painting through the letterbox, and the next we heard you'd gone over the water. And no address where we could send a money order to.
Oh, that's not why I'm here.
Well, why are you here?
I read your ad in the Vindicator. I figured the room you were advertising was the one I did up, and I came to inquire about it. Is it still available?
Well, we've had a few inquiries.
Oh, has it gone?
Not exactly.
Are you not stopping with your mother?
My sister Mary Louise and her six kids are roosting there at the minute. My back's bent double from lying on the wee couch in the front room.
But if you're only in a couple of weeks' leave, Packy, you'd hardly want to take on a room. We were thinking of something long term.
Well, the truth is, I'm thinking I might come back for good. Oh. I'm having a bit of a look around, and if the room isn't gone, I'd put a down payment on it till I decide what I'm doing.
Oh, a down payment?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it's a woman tenant we're looking for.
Oh,
I'm sure this place wouldn't suit you at all. You'd be lost for company with the pair of us. Oh, excuse me while I attend to the switch.
The ad didn't specify a female tenant.
Maybe we forgot to say that.
All right.
Ballylennon call office? Oh, hello,
Gargan. I might as well if it's no trouble.
I'm fine, thank you.
No trouble at all.
What number do you want?
It's not too stupid.
The room advertised. It's on the first floor. Very quiet. And there's a grand view of the... Oh, but... No. I'm afraid it's not available. Not available. I'm afraid. I wasn't thinking... It's a female tenant we're looking for. Well, I don't think my sister can have said that. No. Sorry, a misunderstanding. Good night, Gard. Oh, that was Gard Gallagher.
Mm-hmm.
He must be going round the bend. Says you promised him the room, Muriel.
Yeah.
Round the bend.
But Billy, I didn't...
I knew you could never have said such a silly thing. Now, Packy, there's two nice gentlemen disappointed.
Ah, dear.
And aren't we the two foolish women to be turning down good money?
That's another thing. Luggage labelled. We can get those in the magnet.
Magnet. And we need two strong leather straps to go round my trunks.
That'll be Jackson's. And they might have some old cardboard boxes for the canisters and the bits and pieces from the kitchen drawers.
Drawers.
Why don't you go on to Jackson's, and I'll pick up the cotton camisole I ordered at Mrs. Pollock's.
Pollock's.
Oh, there's Mr. Doherty coming out of his estate agency. With Father O'Flatley, too. We must catch him. Come along.
Thanks, Father. I'll send them around when the letter's tight. Be seeing you.
Oh, Mr. Doherty, before
good
you go
day,
in...
Good day, Mrs. Hawthorne and Reverend.
Mr. Doherty?
I just wanted to say I'm sorry you can't hold the next meeting till the day after we've left. I'd a number of items I wish to table, but I can always write them to you.
It's a terrible pity, right enough. And we'd no idea you were leaving so soon because, this is between ourselves, I know Miss McConkey had plans... make a presentation.
Really?
Oh, no, there's no need.
Oh, some little token. Nothing much.
That's so kind. Such a kind thought.
But then, as you say, we can always write.
Right.
No word, I suppose, about who'll be replacing the two of you?
No, actually, we haven't heard. It's a matter of some disquiet for us because we'd prefer there to be an overlap so as we could introduce them to their tasks and to the people.
Ashen will find their way around in no time, the way you did. And Shiraz, you'll be back.
Oh, yes, I intend to be back frequently.
Ah, you will.
And do you know who's back? Which surprised me. Packy McGoldrick.
What?
He appears to be doing well. I always knew he had a strong entrepreneurial sense, but I've sort of feeling he isn't quite sure of what way life has taken him.
You had that feeling? Huh?
I always felt he was a young man who could go far, if he had proper guidance. Don't you agree, Samuel?
Yes, guidance.
Where did you come across him?
Oh, in Hazlitt's Fancy Bakery. He has a sweet tooth.
You may be sure he has.
We must be getting along. We're on a little shopping spree. How's Josie? Have you heard from her recently?
Oh, doing well. Oh, doing well. She'll be home for a holiday any day now.
Please give her my regards. All the migrant birds flighting home. So appropriate in this autumnal weather.
Good day, Mr. Doherty.
Good day, Reverend. Migrant birds.
And best wishes for Scotland, Miss Hawthorne.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Pollard.
Oh, will you excuse me? I wanted the fitting room.
Goodbye, Mrs. Bye. Pollard. The camisole's just right. Josie Doherty.
Miss Boole.
No, Mrs. Hawthorne.
How are you? I knew you were coming home, but I didn't know you were coming home today.
I wasn't sure myself what day I'd travel.
It was very nice of you to send that card with the gold horseshoe and the orange blossom. My husband had appreciated it very much, too. He has an artistic frame of mind.
I'm glad you liked it.
Do you know who I ran into only yesterday? Packy McGoldrick, indulging his predilection for jam donuts and Hazlitt's.
Oh, if you're looking for Mrs. Pollock, she's in the fitting room.
Actually, I only duked in here for a minute. I haven't been home yet. My bag's still at the station.
I met your father in the street a minute ago. As a matter of fact, the figure of speech I used to him was homing pigeons. No, migrant birds. Referring to you and Packy, of course.
Does my father know that Packy's home, Mrs. Hawthorne?
He didn't until I mentioned it in passing.
But he knows now.
Yes.
What way did he take it? When you told him?
Oh, I don't know. Non-committal, I think.
I see.
Why? What is it? Did I say something I shouldn't say?
Not your fault. You see, can you keep this to yourself, Mrs. Hawthorne?
The points I earned as a brownie for not telling tales have stood to me ever since, Josie.
The thing is, I told my father I'd have something very important to tell him when I got home. I'm away on up the hotel now to tell him that I'm getting married.
How wonderful. That is very good news. I suppose I'll have to keep it from my husband till you've made the happy announcement.
I'm not sure how happy my father will be, Mrs. Hawthorne. You see, the person I'm going to marry is Packy McGoldrick.
Oh, I should have taken the umbrella.
I didn't notice it was raining. Well, what did he say?
Oh, he was very understanding. Guard Galler's a real gentleman. But there was something else.
What? Oh, you should hang your coat by the range. I'll tell you about Guard Galler first. I knocked on the door of the barracks and a voice said, come in. I hadn't in my mind if there was anyone else in the office I'd inquire about the rise in the dog license.
What? Because we were thinking of getting a new dog since Snarlygob strayed.
Oh, her wee Snarlygob?
But he was there on his own, so I told him the truth straight out. When you rang us from the phone, Guard, I said, looking to rent that room in our house, my sister told you we wanted a female tenant. That's what you said, says he.
Well?
When you rang, I said again, Packy McGoldrick was standing beside us in the kitchen, the way you're standing beside me now. It took a minute for that to sink in. And then he said, oh. Oh. So I said that Packy was after looking for the same room and we'd refused. Not that I've anything against Packy McGoldrick, I said. But you know, he has a reputation for being tricksy. I think I'd have a couple of bucks, though.
Did he say oh to that as well?
No, because I told him straight out, when we turned Packy down, we couldn't let it to you in his hearing. Well, you saw the sense in that. And all the time I was thinking Guard Gallagher standing there financing me, wasn't it a pity?
What?
Because he'd been no trouble in the house, perhaps even helped Vera, chopping a bit of kindling or mending the back of that flue.
But what would people be saying that the two of us bringing a single man into the house?
He's a guard, Vera. But as well as that, he's only a big child.
They're the worst. But what was the other thing?
I'm coming to that. Did you see the spoon?
Oh, there's a
slide. Thank you, guard, I said. There's no ill feeling. And before he could reply, his attention was drawn to the window because there were shouts from across the street.
But the tinkers?
No. Packy McGoldrick.
But what is he to shout about?
Will you hear this? There was Packy on the doorstep of the Three Arms and Fancy Doherty roaring at him to keep away.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes, yes. Don't you come near this place again. Ooh. That's what Fancy was shouting. And he called him terrible names.
What names?
Skittery, I think. Oh, I couldn't hear too well. And Sneakit.
I wonder, was Josie inside? She's expected home on holiday.
I don't know. I was standing in the front window of the barracks with Guard Gallagher. The two of us rooted to the spot.
Do you think Josie told Mr. Doherty something he didn't want to hear?
I have no idea. I couldn't go across to ask. But it's very unlike Mr. Doherty to use language.
He's a shriek that we get. That's all he is.
That's a terrible thing to say.
And aren't you after telling me a terrible thing?
What's the terrible?
That you're thinking of marrying him.
Not thinking. Going to.
He has no right coming in here. I didn't invite him.
He has every right. A hotel's a public place.
He came knocking at the side door and you only in the house 5 minutes. He must have been watching out like a spy or an informer.
If he was watching the house, it was because I said I'd be arriving this evening. I told him to come to the side door and ask for me. I don't know what business it was of Imelda's to tell you he was here. And she has the place looking like a dog's dinner. It's no wonder it's empty of visitors.
We never get many of this time of year, as you well know, Josie. And there's no need to take out your own annoyance on your own sister. As well as that, you're getting away from what we were talking about in the name of God, Josie. What was it made to take up with that good
what
for nothing?
What a question to ask. Why did anyone get married? You got married yourself.
Hold on. Are you trying to tell me that you have to get married?
I don't believe
well,
it.
Well, from what you said, I didn't.
I'm going up to bed.
Hold on. Night. Hold on, your room's full of boxes. I had nowhere to put the stuff from the vet's liquidation sale. You'd better take one of the guest rooms.
I'll find somewhere suitable, I'm sure. The bridal suite.
In Ballylennon by Christopher Fitzsimon, Fonsy Doherty was played by T.P. McKenna, Vera McConkie was Stella McCusker, and Muriel McConkie, Margaret Darcy. The Reverend Samuel Hawthorne was Gerard Murphy, Mrs. Vivian Hawthorne, Anya McCartney, Packy McGoldrick, Tim Lone, and Josie Doherty was Kathy White. Music was arranged and performed by Stephanie Hughes. Ballylennon was directed in Belfast by Owen O'Callaghan.